Hey everyone, and welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, where instead of talking about a show on Toonami, we discuss a topic related to the program. This week we're talking about how to recommend shows, the awkwardness of introducing a show to somebody, and the accessibility of Toonami. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And I guess to get us started, recently a friend of mine, apparently per my recommendation, got into Gunpla, which is a thing that which is slightly heartening, that I felt good about it in a weird way. But the other day he sent me a text message, and in it he basically outlined this thought process of I've been buying these models, maybe I should watch one of the shows to understand. You know, like a fun mech show would be good for me. And the series that he chose to watch is Iron Blooded Orphans, which is not a fun show at all. so he texts me this.
For sure.
Yeah, right. So he texts me all of this stuff. And I had this thought process where I was like, okay, how do I, what Gundam show do I start someone on? Like, what's the show that gets you into it, but that isn't too crazy? Because, personally, I wouldn't necessarily say start with Iron-Blooded Orphans. Eventually, what I came up with was, basically, I think that the three, Universal Century OVAs are a good place to start.
Yeah.
8th MS Team, 0083, and 0080. Just because they're all pretty short, they're high quality, and they are pretty self-contained. Like, you don't need to know anything about the rest of the universe to understand those shows. But before we started recording this minisode, we were talking about this, and you brought up this idea of just recommending shows in general off of Toonami.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard for me to imagine. We've given a couple shows the go back and visit it rating.
Right.
But how could I actually recommend them to someone, especially to someone who didn't watch Toonami in the past
or
into anime or cartoons in general? It's like, that just seems like the most difficult task in the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the point where they weren't into animation in general, I feel like I wouldn't bother trying.
Yeah.
that's just a lost cause. But I know what you mean because, you know, just last week I said that Tenchi in Tokyo is a show that you should at least give a chance. And I realized I would never say that to someone in real life. I would never actually speak to another human being face to face and say, hey, watch Tenchi in Tokyo. What's it about? Oh, it's about this guy who has these six women that are all in love with him, but then a seventh woman comes in and
but they're aliens.
And she's not real. They're all aliens. Let's just rewind this conversation and I won't even fucking mention it.
Yeah, well, and it's the thing about it is I guess what we're kind of looking for is a catch-all recommendation. But I don't know if that
actually
exists.
Which is impossible, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is partly at least dependent on the person you're recommending it to. But it is funny to me, that's kind of the whole purpose of this podcast, is trying to pick through and find the things that are actually worthwhile. So I don't know. I think it's interesting trying to figure out here's a good question. What would be the thing that you would say, if you wanted to get someone into anime in general, what would you say, watch this? This is the Socratic ideal of anime to me. I'm curious what that would be for you.
Probably anything by Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, sure.
I'd pick some of my favorites from there, but those are shows to me, and this sounds so fucking condescending, but to me they kind of transcend the genre of anime.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean that might be slightly condescending, but I get what you mean.
I admit it, but I don't know. If separate from those, which tend to be just recognized as great films in their own right.
Well, yeah, sure.
Also kind of treated separately. I have to think, like, what? God.
I mean, I kind of figured Akira.
Akira's really good. Yeah.
Like, that's probably, for my money, I think that's probably what I would say. Like,
something it, that, yeah, it's just fantastic all around. The use of color, the use of, they really, like,
yeah, right,
use animation to its full capabilities in that movie.
Which, yeah, there's that for sure. But there's also, like, just the tone.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, just general weirdness of it, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, like, a good sort of dipping your toe into it's what other,
very much like, oh, it's super dark and not for kids at all.
Which, yeah, right,
you know, to
right,
introduce
right,
someone new to anime.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a good yeah, place to start someone, I guess.
It's where a lot of people started.
Yeah,
you know, in the,
yeah, that makes sense.
In the 90s.
Or with Star Blazers.
Right. A lot of tape trading.
Yeah, right. But I guess while we're talking about indoctrinating people to the cult of anime, it might be worth, like, actually just talking about Akira. We watched that together. Like, you showed me that specifically,
yeah,
in college when we were doing a brief, like, media exchange
the
program
one
between
time
the
we
two
ever
of
did
us.
That, which is a lot of fun, but
yeah,
we never
that
did
we
it again.
Never did it again for no reason. And of yeah, course, after knowing each other for years at this point, we're like, we should yeah, watch some of the things the other one likes.
It's like, I got to show you Akira. And then you're like, hey, you got to watch Taxi Driver. I'm like, all
right. Yeah, right.
I did it.
But like, sitting on a couch with someone, or, you know, sitting in the same room with someone watching a thing that you really, really love,
yeah,
is such a nerve-wracking experience.
it's terrifying.
Right. Like,
everything reflects on yourself. At least if you're as crazy as we are, it's just like...
yeah, if you have low self-confidence, then it's terrifying.
Yeah, where it's like, oh God, if they don't like this movie, I'm going to look like an idiot for liking the movie so much.
Yeah, right. They won't like me.
What if they're offended by it?
Right, right. So I personally find this to be most problematic for myself when I'm watching some kind of comedy with yeah, someone that I'm friends with. Recently, I introduced a friend of mine to Party Down, and we're sitting in his apartment watching Party Down, and he wasn't laughing at, like, every funny thing. And the like, the whole time that we were sitting there, the first day we were watching it, I was just like, he fucking hates this show. This is terrible. This is, like, my favorite show ever. I feel like such a moron.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that's just paranoid thinking absurdity. But really, it's a weird experience. It's probably weirder when you're trying to convince someone that, like, Power Rangers in Space is worth watching, though.
That's a Herculean task for anyone who isn't already drunk or high.
Yeah, that's true. If they're drunk or high, you know, it helps a lot.
Yeah, pretty colors. Have you ever had the feeling of, like, introducing something you really, really like to someone and getting angry that they aren't getting it right?
No, I don't think I've ever had that experience. Maybe at some point, but okay, tell me about that. What the hell was that?
It's embarrassing. It wasn't that bad, but it was like, I was watching, it might just be movie etiquette too. I was showing Lauren the movie Porco Rosso, which is another Studio
oh,
Ghibli
right,
film
yeah, yeah,
that I love a lot.
Sure.
That's a very, like, nostalgic movie, and it's a very, like, kind of contemplative movie in its own way, but also cartoony mm-hmm, and ridiculous at times.
Sure.
And I was watching it, and she just kept, like, making comments, and I was like, Lauren, stop. No, be quiet. I'm soaking this movie in. It's too good. It's really stupid. I think that kind of thing is just like, maybe I'm too attached.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've gotten that feeling before, actually, now that you bring it up. I feel like I've watched movies that I like a lot with you, actually.
Yeah.
Where you've just kind of talked through it Which, fair enough, because most of the time they're very weird movies, you know?
What movie?
I don't know, like Big Trouble in Little China, or like...
Oh, really? I was probably drinking too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you
know...
That's
also, like...
Yeah, it's a weird movie. It's a movie that you kind of laugh about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a pretty distinct memory of once. It wasn't you, actually. It was somebody else, but, like... just shit-talking Big Trouble in Little China the whole time. Like, this movie's terrible. I was like, it's supposed to be. Like,
that wasn't me. That's,
No, that wasn't you at all. But the whole time, I'm like, no, that's the point. Like, it's a joke. Fucking Kurt Russell can act better than this.
Yeah.
I've seen him in other things. This is a joke. This whole thing. Oh, God. I love that fucking movie.
You know what I love?
What?
Off topic and similar topic. I like Roadhouse.
Yeah,
do you think
Roadhouse
that movie is in the same vein of like making fun of itself?
That's a really hard question to answer. I think Roadhouse is probably a little bit more in the like. I think Roadhouse is probably just more highly saturated in the 80s. Than it is really making fun of itself. I mean, it's a ridiculous movie. There's no question about that. But I feel like it's actually pretty genuine about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like in a world where bouncers are treated like Jedi. Like,
sure.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, where bouncers steal children and then train them to become soldiers.
What?
It's kind of what the Jedi do, dude.
Oh, it's like, I don't remember that in Roadhouse.
I don't know why I'm talking. Yeah, now I'm just making a political point about fucking Star Wars for some reason. We got to start talking about
this. Episode 1.
Yeah, right. So, all right. So I think the final thing that I wanted to talk about here is talking about just Toonami's accessibility, which I suppose really it's not any more accessible than anime is now. But I feel like... now it's something you have to seek out. I guess that's the difference. Like, one of the things that was great about Toonami is it was on a pretty major network that you were probably watching already if you were a kid. And it was, you know, on immediately after school and everything. So it was super easy to just slide into it in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas now I feel like, you know, Toonami still exists, but it's only on... at midnight on like Saturday. It's something you have to plan around.
More. You have to seek it out.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, and like for anime and kind of more adult oriented cartoons or you know, teenage oriented cartoons, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge, because that's like the first, I mean, outside of a couple other times of like Robotech and, you know, maybe
Star
right, Blazers.
Pre-Toonami stuff.
And then, like, all the tape trading, which is, I'm sure, super hard to get into and super expensive.
Well, yeah, of course. And that's, I mean, that itself you have to seek out. There's no way you just walk into a place and someone's like, hey, check this out.
Yeah, right.
I assume that's how that worked, basically. But, no, I think that was a really valuable thing about Toonami. Like, it really brought a lot of people into the fold.
Yeah.
And, like, I can say pretty confidently that if it weren't for Toonami, I wouldn't have any interest in anime, really. Like, outside of probably Studio Ghibli stuff, because that's just well-regarded generally. But,
No, I mean, that was...
You know.
It was kind of what got me into anything. Like...
Right.
I guess I'd be into video games. I probably would have found my way to anime from there.
Yeah,
like
sure.
RPGs and stuff.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Even so, like... Yeah, I mean, it's such a profound influence on my childhood, and a way in which I could actually like bond with other people, which was difficult for me as a kid.
Oh yeah, sure, it's same. I mean,
it's one
geez.
Of the few things that I was like, I overhear someone talking about that, and it's like, you talking about Toonami? Oh man, hey! And then it's like, oh, yeah. I have friends now.
Having such an easy way into this kind of subculture is. Essential. Like, yeah. I one of my big problems with nerd culture these days, and it's probably always been like this, but you know, I'm more aware of it now, is the gatekeeping problem of, you know, I mean, I don't think I really need to elaborate on that.
Yeah, no, it's just this kind of sense of entitlement that leads you to leads people to preventing others from getting into certain things because they're you know, you're into the new thing, you're into the remake of this. Oh my god.
Or not even that, but just like you're not a true fan because X,
because anything.
I am more of a fan than you, which is I mean, I've always just found ridiculous on its face. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't want a community to grow, but I feel like Toonami was like a great, I guess, adversary to that whole way of thinking because it was so accessible.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to gatekeep around something that's on your TV, you know, every day of the week. I mean, I imagine that there was certainly problematic gatekeeping back then as well. Like, I don't want to diminish that, but I kind of wish there was still something like that around, because again, I wouldn't have gotten into this stuff if it weren't for that. And I don't know, maybe the absolute massive amount of choice that's available to people now courtesy of the internet is better, but
yeah,
personally, it just leads to choice paralysis.
Yeah, and people still find ways to be dickish about it, too.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that. Well, of course, we don't want to gatekeep. We want to keep the gates open. And one of the ways that we do that is by inviting you, the listener, to submit topics to us for discussion on these minisodes. As always, you can submit a topic suggestion for a minisode like this one via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, so this is MS-06, right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Zaku this episode. All right.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we're going to. Totally forgot about that. Okay, so I guess where it all starts is like the C-type Zaku, which has radiation shielding around the cockpit because it was used before the Antarctic Treaty, so they were still using nuclear weapons. Oh, and the Leo is OZ-06MS in reference to the Zaku's model number, you know, because they're both green enemy mook suits that die in droves. The Grays from Iron Blooded Orphans is EB-06, both in reference to the Zaku and the mechanical designer for the Grays, Kanatake.